Good evening and welcome to our study of the Book of Malachi. We're in this fourth chapter of the Book of Malachi, and it is only six verses long. And I'd like to read the entire chapter tonight, and we're going to spend our time on a passage here in verse 2, a thought in verse 2. Last week we looked at fearing the name of the Lord our God, and I just want to say this. If we think we can do this fear, this reverence of the Lord, in our fallen state, in religion, we are greatly mistaken. The fall is too serious. And every thought of our being about God is wrong. We must be born again. Our thoughts about God before we're saved are not in our heart. They're only in our intellect, and they don't make any difference. We may have good thoughts. We may say we believe the Word. But if we do not have it in our heart, it makes no difference. Before I read this fourth chapter of the book of Malachi, I would like you to join me in reading one verse of Scripture over in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man is born again, if any person is born again, if Christ in you, the hope of glory, he is a new creature. This is the same word that we find with regard to God creating the heavens and the earth. It takes the power of God to create, and only he can do it. Old things are passed away. Now, you notice in that thought, that phrase right there, it doesn't say all old things are passed away. I appreciate what Brother Mahan had to say about that verse. Not all old things are passed away. We still deal with the flesh. The Lord does not save our flesh. That's for the future. That's for the end. We'll have a body like unto his glorious body. But it goes on to tell us, as the Apostle Paul writes to these saints at Corinth, he said, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new when it comes to spiritual things. Every thought that we had about God is wrong unless we're born again. It does not help us. It doesn't make us better. It doesn't change our view before God. It doesn't change God's view of us. We must be born again. We must be a new creature, creation in Christ Jesus, in order to appreciate and enjoy that. Then all things are become new. Our thoughts of God are completely new because it's by revelation. Our thoughts about the Bible are completely new because it's by revelation of the Holy Spirit. Our thoughts of sin, our thoughts of the future, our thoughts about heaven, our thoughts about hell, our thoughts about us, they're all new thoughts. They have a spiritual application. They're spiritual. They're not just bound up in history. They're not just bound up in some words that we find in the Bible, but they're bound up in the person Christ Jesus. And he is our creator, our spiritual father. So we're going to look at that verse 2 again in our reading. And I just want to make that clear that I hear people, I don't know how many times I've heard people say at a funeral, I wonder if they made peace with God. That is an impossibility in this life. We cannot make peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And nowhere else. We'll never make peace outside of Christ. All right, going back to the book of Malachi, verse 1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. There will not be any remembrance of them. Today is my grandfather's 139th birthday. I just barely remember him, but I remember him. But in heaven, all those that are without Christ, we will not remember. There won't be a root or a thought about them. We'll have our time spent on trusting Christ or bowing before Christ and worshiping him. Now the next verse, verse 2, but unto you that fear my name. Now, I was just mentioning that if we think we can fear the name of the Lord on our own, we're gravely mistaken. We are gravely mistaken. We cannot do that because of the fall. Brother Mike Baker, in his lesson on total depravity, brings out so many verses of Scripture about this total depravity. It's a term that's not found in Scripture, but the Scriptures are filled with the principle of it. And over it declares that there is no way of approaching God on our own. So this fear is a gift of God. It is a gift of grace. The reverence that you might have, if you're born again, the reverence you have of the Lord God Almighty is a reverence that is a gift. He teaches us about God. We don't get it anywhere else. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves to the stall, the calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Before his coming the first time, before his coming in the incarnation, we have Elijah, or as Jesus Christ himself shared with his disciples, this is John the Baptist, the prophet coming and before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, that's not the second coming that all of these people are talking about. That was the day, the time the Lord came in his incarnation and his teaching and his preaching, and then his eventual time that he was taken out and crucified for the sins of his people. And verse 6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amen. Last verse of the prophet, the preacher, the elder Malachi, as he wrote these words. All right, we're going to go back here to verse 2. Because in verse 2 it says, but unto you that fear my name. Isn't that a wonderful thing? What a blessed account of the Lord Jesus Christ under this figurative language of the Son of Righteousness. Just think what the sun is to the earth. I'm just going to mention three things, but we could come up with a number of other things. Number one, it's the sole fountain of light. There is no light. We say, well, we got electric lights. Well, that depends on the sun bringing in the rain, or the sun having created the coal and all of this other stuff. It is because of the sun that we have light. And it is the sole fountain of life. I remember talking to someone who claimed to be a Christian and saying that God could have had those 6 days in the book of Genesis could have been eons and eons long, the day and the night the same. Well, if the night is eons long, there is no life at all on the earth. It's dependent upon the sun and the sole fountain of heat. We get our warmth from the sun. And these things are symbolic of what we have in Christ Jesus. The Lord is all righteousness and all the church's righteousness. He is the Lord our righteousness, and the church is called the Lord our righteousness. Did you notice with me what the Son of Righteousness shall do to everyone he giveth a heart of reverence or fear to? Did you notice that with me in verse 2? But unto you that fear the name of my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in the wings. Now, we're not going to get near all of this verse taken care of tonight or looked at tonight or reviewed tonight, but this passage tells us he shall arise. Now, there's many verses in the Scripture that share this principle to God's people. I'd just like, for an example, to go over to the book of Psalms 112. In Psalms 112, we have a wonderful verse of Scripture. Psalms 112 and verse 14, we have this verse of Scripture that shares with us about the same principle that's mentioned here in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Psalm 112, and there in verse 4, we read these words, "But the upright, there ariseth light in darkness." Now, the darkness to the upright, those who are going to be saved, those who have been appointed to grace, those whose names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, the darkness that they're born into is just as severe as the darkness to anyone else. The depravity that we're born into is just as serious as the depravity that everyone else has. All of Adam's children have that innate being, that they're depraved. And it takes the grace of God to bring us out of that state. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord," verse 1, "that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be his house." This is not necessarily physical riches, but oh my, the riches that the Lord has for his people. There is every spiritual blessing given unto his people. "And his righteousness endureth forever. Upon the upright there ariseth light in darkness." We are in a dark place when the gospel comes to us. We are dead in trespasses and sin. And there is no way that the preacher, no way the teacher, no way that any evangelist, no way that any revivalist, nobody can reach us. It takes the grace of God. Now, he uses folks, he uses people, he uses preachers to bring us the gospel. But it must be the gospel of his free and sovereign grace, and no other gospel will do. We cannot expect growth out of candy corn. We must have the real. We must have real grace. We must have real gospel. We must have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ from beginning to end, not part of it. So the upright, there ariseth light in darkness. He finds us in our darkness. He finds us in our natural state. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Unto the upright, there ariseth light. To the upright, to those that God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world, he has promised that there will be light sent their way. And this light is none other than the light of the Son of Righteousness, the light of the gospel, the light of Christ, the light of God. As Christ himself said, "I am the light of the world." So the upright, these are God's elect. These are God's chosen ones, and they are in darkness, thick darkness, black darkness, like everybody else. But there is a beam of light that comes from his holy being to us in the gospel and raises us up, and we can see the face of his glory. We can see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We can see what we could not see before, where we might and be in the same boat. We were in the same boat that we find there's no form nor comeliness in him. And when we're raised out of that darkness, there is a knowledge that he is altogether lovely, that there is no part of his being, his character or his attributes that is not to the benefit of the church and not to the benefit of the individual. And we're raised out of darkness, gross darkness, black darkness, to that marvelous light. It's also brought out here over in the book of Isaiah chapter 60. Would you turn there with me? Isaiah chapter 60. We read again about this glorious message that God brings through his Son, the Lord Jesus, that he has healing in his wings, that he is the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. In Isaiah chapter 60, we read there in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and verse 2, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." What? It's like the blessed sunrise. It is so beautiful and so beneficial and so glorious that this light would shine in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, could not overcome it. There's no place to hide when the light comes. Now, bedbugs want to hide, but God's people, when they're regenerated, want to be in that light. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now, we could certainly say that that is pictorial language about the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry upon the earth. But as being in Christ, we get to enjoy that ourselves too. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Now that's where we are by nature. We can't see. In fact, we're dead. There is a darkness that is beyond comprehension. We only understand that gross darkness after we've been saved, after we've been resurrected, after we've been brought out of darkness to his marvelous light. We can only understand a little bit about that darkness. The darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. There's nothing that can be done on the behalf of or by the people of, but only the gospel, only the preaching of the gospel and the call of the Holy Spirit and the resurrection by the Lord Jesus Christ of his people. He is the true resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So we have this wonderful picture given to us of what God does spiritually. Nobody else may see it, just as we find the passage of Scripture when a great thing happened, many other people just thought there was thunder, but some people heard the voice of the Lord. And that's the way it is with the resurrection that God gives us. Most people don't notice anything going on. In fact, they may be annoyed by the message, but to God's people that are raised out of this gross darkness, there is life in the message. There is life in the messenger. There is life in the purpose of the Holy Spirit giving us the new birth. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. It is a serious darkness, but those that God raises and causes to fear his name or reverence him, he gives them the light of the Son of Righteousness. It arises with healing in his wings. In Bible, let's turn just a little further, and we find this passage of Scripture over backing up to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah, chapter 9. Look here in Isaiah, chapter 9. The wonderful message that continues throughout the Old Testament and is brought into the New Testament. We just have to say right here, the gospel does not change. It doesn't matter what period of time we're in. And we're going to find these verses of Scripture that share with us the glories of the gospel and the position that God's people are in by nature. We all will come to the conclusion that we are in the fall, that when Adam fell, we fell and died in him. Now, we may have physical life and we're animated, and we want our heart to beat and our lungs to breathe and all this other things that go on. We want to be healthy. But when it comes to our spiritual being, we're dead. There is nothing there that anybody can quicken or awaken. It takes the Holy Spirit to do that. And when he does it, it is with vigor. He doesn't raise people half up and then, they're not complacent with that. They're not satisfied with that. They'd rather have other things. And he quits. No. He is an absolute creator, and he does as he pleases when he's working with his people, and it is irresistible. It will not be stopped. God will profit in it. Here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2, the people that walked in darkness, the people that have walked in darkness, and we just cannot comprehend that darkness. Many years ago, my wife and I and a couple of our children went to the Mammoth Caves there in Kentucky. And we got down in that great long cave, and the tour guide turned out his lights and asked us to turn out all our lights. Well, you could walk if you want to, but you're going to stumble and fall. It was gross darkness. You could not get out on your own. A match, maybe, but you're not going to get out without light. And so it is, we'll not get out of this life alive without the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel, the light of the new birth. It must be given to us by God Almighty, or we'll never get out. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. God's people are so thankful that they got to see the sunrise of the glory of Jesus Christ. It is far superior and far more glorious than any sunrise that has ever taken place on this earth. It goes to the soul. It is a soul light. It's seen a great light. They that dwell in the land in the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Just a moment, a breath, a heartbeat away from death. And yet God sustains us until he gives us grace. He sustains us until we hear the gospel. We're invincible. And I hate to use that word too much because people take it wrong, but God will not let any of his lost sheep die before they hear the gospel and are saved. Now, we might be like that thief on the cross. We may only have an hour or two left in our life when he saves us. But he did not let that man die before he heard the gospel. And the gospel declarer and the gospel needer met at Calvary. And a man said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He recognized that he was the chiefest of sinners. He was getting what he deserved. But remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And so he saw a great light. Here is a man beaten. Here's a man with a crown of thorns. Here's a man nailed in his hands. And yet he saw the light of the world. He saw the sunrise. He saw the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings. He saw more than anybody else that day saw. What a glory it is to see the resurrection of Jesus Christ in a person. In the book of Matthew chapter 4, this verse in Isaiah is brought out over here in the book of Matthew chapter 4 to share with us the old and new. They are the same gospel, the same preaching. Nobody was ever saved by the law in the Old Testament, and nobody is ever saved by the law in the New Testament. Everybody that was saved in the Old Testament was saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, just like they are in the New Testament era. And here in the book of Matthew, chapter 4 and verse 16, "For the people which sat in darkness," that's where we are, sat in darkness, can't do anything. Oh, we may walk around, we may go to the grocery store and buy groceries, we may go get pay our taxes, we may go on a cruise, we may do all these things, but when it comes to spiritual things, we're stuck in a pit. We cannot get out on our own, and it takes this wonderful light. "They that sat in darkness saw great light." What is that? They get to see Christ. It's appointed unto them to have their eyes open and get to see the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus. "And to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death," we just don't know how close we are to death every day. It is so imminent, so close. Nothing keeps us but the grace of God from dying. I don't know about you, but there are a number of times in my earlier life I should not be alive today talking to you. I should have died. I was in a situation I should have been killed. But God preserved my life so that I could hear the gospel when I was 34 years old. God is gracious, and I got to see the light. And the light is the Son of God. The light is the Lord Jesus Christ. The light is the real issue. The light is the main thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing. He is the real issue. He is the real resurrection. He is the real light, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He is the real. So this light is real. And he said to those that truly God had given them the gift of respecting, reverencing the name of the Lord Jesus, he gave unto them, every one of them, the privilege of seeing the Son of Righteousness arise. In the book of Luke chapter 1, would you turn there with me? Luke chapter 1, this is a wonderful passage of Scripture. I don't know how many times I've used that tonight. Wonderful passage of Scripture. Wonderful passage. They're all good, aren't they? We just never tire of them. And we may read in one place 1 week, and next week we get back there and we're given something else. Here in the first chapter of the book of Luke, it's a long chapter, so I'd like you to go over to verse 67. Now, this is John the Baptist's dad, Zacharias, and he is had his mouth opened after 9 months of silence, and he says enough here to preach 100 messages from. Well, probably enough to preach the rest of our lifetime. But he says, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And he prophesied. And he wasn't prophesying future things. He's prophesying or foretelling what is going on. This is what's happening right here. This is the fulfillment of Scripture. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. What a statement is made here. He has visited. God has visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, talking about the Lord. And John the Baptist was born, and it was a few months later before the Lord is born, but Zacharias understood what was going to be happening here. Verse 70, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, God spake by his mouth of the holy prophets about this one, the horn of salvation, coming from the house of David, which have been since the world began. The prophets have been declaring this message. Someone's coming to take care of the problem. The fall is so serious that no one else can take care of it. It is only the Son of the living God can take care of the problem. That's how big it is. The Son of God gave up the glory that he had with the Father for a season to take care of this serious problem. And when he came down to this earth, nobody knew him as the Son of God except those he revealed himself to. And that was by the spiritual revelation through the new birth. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, verse 70, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, not just the Romans, my goodness, but saved from our real enemies, saved from sin, saved from death, saved from the punishment of sin, saved from hell, saved from the second death. That's the real enemies. And from the hand of all that hate us. Well, everything of this world hates us. Everything of our natural birth hates us. Our families hate us when we have this glorious light and we say a word about it, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Wow, these words, perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Not just a covenant with Abraham about some physical land or a covenant to David about this or that, but the holy covenant, this holy covenant, this eternal covenant that is spoken of throughout the scriptures and now bears out in the as it's brought out in the New Testament that this is the one of the covenant. This is the person of the covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. This is Zacharias talking about this. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. He's looking down at his new son and saying, you are the fulfillment of the prophets, the Old Testament prophets. You will be the announcer. You will be the declarer. You'll be the forerunner of the light of life. You'll be the forerunner of the Son of Righteousness. You'll be the forerunner of the light of the world. And you'll give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. We have this glorious promise that when God saves someone, he has given them the light of life. We sit in darkness, We sit in the valley of the shadow of death. We sit in the shadow of death, but he has given us light to them that sit in darkness. No longer any spiritual darkness. Now, we may not see as we hope we could see, but we see much better than we've ever seen before. I remember going to the deacon of the church when the Lord saved me and telling him, I'm not sure exactly what happened to me, but I know this. I know more about grace now than I've ever known in my life. There was a revelation, a light about grace, and grace is for great sinners. Great sinners. John chapter 1. Would you turn there with me? John chapter 1. Here we go, talking about the announcer, the forerunner. John chapter 1 and verse 9. John chapter 1 and verse 9. Excuse me, 6 through 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might be saved. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. How serious this is. The Lord Jesus was in the world was made by him, and everybody that was there. And yet they knew him not. He came to be the light. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We may not understand algebra. We may not understand calculus. We may not understand this pandemic. We may not understand how to conjugate a sentence in English. We may not be able to read all the books that we hope to read. We may be limited in those areas. But when God saves someone, he lets them have the light, spiritual light, and they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their light, as their Savior, as their hope, as their peace. And they hear him say, peace be still, and it touches their heart. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Only place that we have light. We're not going to get it in a church membership, and we're not going to get it in a vacation Bible school, and we're not going to get it in some religious organization. We're not going to be by joining a church. We're not going to get that. The light that God has for his people is in the Lord. And then he says, here's a heart check. Walk as children of light. If this is something you can't do, if this is always a problem, this is never able to have a thought, spiritual thought about the Lord Jesus Christ in a positive manner, let's check where we are. 2 Peter. Would you turn with me to 2 Peter? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. As we come close to the end of our thoughts here on this verse of Scripture about the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings, the Son, the glorious light of God Almighty, Christ Jesus, the light. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. We have the word of God. How glorious is that? The word of God, this verse of Scripture, and we have a word of prophecy made more sure. So the words of the prophets are made more certain. We have also a right sure word of prophecy. We have also a sure word of prophecy. These are other translations, and they share with us the sure word of prophecy is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we have the prophets' messages. They show us even more certainly that these things are true. So the word of the Lord is brought out, a sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And this light shines in our heart. It's by creation we're given light. And it's more than a candle. It's more than a sun. We have to go back to the Old Testament in the days of creation. Before God created the sun and the moon and the stars, he said, let there be light. And there was light, and it was glorious light. The light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's what he brings to us. Oh, to be able to read through the scriptures and say, this speaks of my Savior. He is the light. He's the glorious light. He allows me to see in this dark world. Other people can't see it. They don't have any idea what it's about. But the Lord has revealed it to me. Jesus said about himself, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. Bright and morning star. The light that comes from him. Romans chapter 10, it says, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that's not a prescription on how to get saved. That tells us what we know when we are saved. This is, saved is in past tense. I remember my dad underlining that and telling me if I should pay attention, and maybe one day I'll be saved. And that was the formula right there. Romans chapter 10, these verses. That the moment you believe, well, you can't believe until you've been given the grace of God, till you've been born again. And then, thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That is one thing about true Christianity. There is no question in our mind about the day star arising, the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings, that he would go into this earth and he would be buried 3 days, but he would also come out. And when the word of God says he came out of the tomb, just like he said he would, the church says yes and amen. That is what God gives to me. So as we close tonight, would you go back with me to the book of Malachi? There in that last book of the Old Testament, book of Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Malachi chapter 4. And verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. He has the ability of taking care of every spiritual problem we have. He has the ability of taking care of all the fear that we have. He has healing in his wings. Now, we may die of cancer. We may die of this pandemic. We may have died in a plane crash. That's not the kind of healing he's taken care of. Even though he's gracious at times to heal friends of ours or family of ours or even ourselves from some sickness. But eventually, we will die. That healing he's talking about here is far more grand than just healing of this temporal body. It is healing that he gives us from a spiritual standpoint. Whereas we were broken, dead, and without hope, he quickens us, causes us to have life, gives us the light of the glory of God. The word of God becomes precious to us. It is something that we ponder on and think about because it is the message of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow as calves of the stall. How wonderful the prophecies and the prophets of the Lord Jesus are to share with us this great information about our Savior. And then to find, as he speaks throughout the scriptures, this is not just one verse of scripture hidden off somewhere in the book of Malachi, but this is a verse of scripture that has many counterparts throughout the scriptures that share with us this glorious light that he gives us in the revelation of Jesus Christ to us, that we might see him, and in seeing him, we might have life and life more abundant. Well, may God bless you as you think on these things, and may God be gracious to us. Amen.